Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Milwaukee could be title town tonight. Doris Burke with me live in 15 minutes. More trouble in Cheeseland. Shefty with a bomb. We'll get to that immediately. A shark by any other name. And someone needs to defend the honor of Skyline Chili. All that and a whole lot more. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
Spoke to a team source who said the Packers have engaged with Aaron Rodgers and his representatives, and they will continue to try to do so.
We want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that. We'll continue to work at it each and every day.
All right, Shefty just dropped a bomb in the middle of my television show this morning. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us. And in case you've not been paying attention, this will be Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And I think it is the most interesting development that has happened in this story so far. Shefty tweeting, this offseason, the Green Bay Packers offered Aaron Rodgers a two-year contract extension that would have tied him to Green Bay for five more seasons and made him the highest-paid quarterback and player in football. Rodgers declined the offer, proof it's not about the money. So you say, Greeny, why is that such an important development? Well, I'm delighted you asked me that question. Because the moment this thing began was the moment on draft night 2 years ago when the Green Bay Packers traded up to take Jordan Love. And what did they do in that moment? They didn't turn the page from Aaron Rodgers. They took away his ability to control the situation. Very few people in that industry, very few people in almost any walk of professional life, have total control of their situation. And having it is extraordinarily valuable. Sports in particular, football players, they're basically told where to go. They're told where they're being drafted. They're told where they're signing. They're told when to show up. They're told when the bus is leaving. They're told. Aaron Rodgers has made it clear he is in a place in his life where he wants control of the situation. And so in that moment, what he decided somewhere deep in the recesses of his mind, the beautiful mystery, was he was going to look that when he got the chance, the people who made that decision square in the eye and say, oh, you think you're now dictating my future? No. I'm going to dictate my future. What the Packers offered him here, according to Shefty's tweet, in my view, is exactly that. It is all the things I would have perceived Aaron Rodgers to want. You want a mea culpa? What could be a greater mea culpa than the same people who traded up to take a quarterback in the first round in 2020, coming back in 2021 and saying, we will extend your contract. You will be the highest paid player in the sport. By the way, the highest paid player in the sport doesn't get benched no matter how badly things go. That means Jordan Love's future is the one that is completely uncertain. He probably winds up getting traded in that situation. We'll never know because Rodgers turns it down. But what is he telling you? What Rodgers is telling you by turning down that extension is that this is not about wanting to control his situation in Green Bay. It is exclusively about wanting out. And I had thought that there was a path. I was the one who was telling you months ago, just trade Jordan Love. Trade Jordan Love. Trade him for something of value. Trade him. Remember, I think it was Julio Jones when all the talk was out there that Julio was going to get traded. I said, trade Jordan Love to Atlanta for Julio Jones. Win-win for everybody. And Rodgers gets the mea culpa that he wants, and he gets the certainty. He gets the control of his future that he wants. But they offered him that, or they offered him the closest thing they could to it. That's better than a public apology. That's better than Mark Murphy or Brian Gutekunst or anybody else going on television and saying, Aaron, we were wrong. That's doing it with your actions. It's proving it with your actions. And he turned it down. So what's he telling you? He's telling you he hates them. He wants out of there no matter what. He's telling you there's nothing they can do to change his mind. So the lines have been drawn in the sand. That is how I read that Shefty tweet that is still not quite an hour old. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Let me go to hashtag Bubba here because Bubba, many of you may not know this, but before his career here in radio production, Bubba actually was a person whose job it was to read into things. He worked in multiple intelligence agencies, many of which cannot be named here, but he would read into the dialogue here. So I ask you, In Aaron Rodgers, Bubba, with your expertise, in Aaron Rodgers turning down a 2-year contract extension in Green Bay that would have given him control of his future and made him the highest paid player in NFL history, what is he telling you? Do you believe I'm reading the situation correctly?
I do, yeah. I think he's still saying he does not want to be there. So it's not about the money. It doesn't matter.
But it was never about the money. I thought it was about the control.
Right.
And I thought that offering him control of his own situation in Green Bay might appease that.
But, I think that's still – I think this is showing that it's even beyond that. That
right.
It's not even – it's not about the money we thought from the beginning. And then this, I think, is even showing it's even beyond that. At this point, it seems like he just does not even want to be there.
He will not be there no matter what. And so if that is the case, I don't know how you go back and play there at all. Like, I get it that politics and sports make for strange bedfellows sometimes, but this is going to set up one of the weirdest situations that we've ever had in sports. Hembo, I'm looking at you. I feel like you've been skeptical of my take, at least as I try and read your face. Are you skeptical of the way I see this?
Not necessarily. I think generally you have this right. What I'm most curious to see is if and when the Packers fan base turns on him. I know a lot of Packers fans, and right now they're on his side. They blame the front office for allowing it to get here. If this continues at this rate, especially if he starts missing camp next week, I'm very curious how quickly that changes.
Well, let me ask Bubba again, because Bubba, before he was in radio production, actually worked in audience research and fan research and did a bunch of things like that. You know that whole list of the top 10 selling jerseys?
Mm-hmm.
That was Bubba's idea. He actually first created that. So, Bubba, at what point do the Packer fans turn on Rodgers?
I don't think they would turn until he starts to miss games. I think they'd be okay if he misses training camp right now. I think there'll be some that might be, but I think, yeah, I think right now they'll probably side with him and be against management. But if all of a sudden it comes week one and they see Jordan Love out there and he's missing games, I think they would officially turn against him then.
See, I think this is an interesting part of the story, which I hadn't considered, but this is why I have the outstanding hashtag crew around me to make me think about things differently. If you're a fan of that team, what Aaron Rodgers is telling you is, they've offered me everything they can offer me. And because my feelings were so hurt by these two guys, and because of my immense dislike for them, even though they've given me anything you could ever imagine I want, I still refuse to come back. I agree. If I'm a fan, and no matter how ardently I love him, and if I'm a fan, look, if you're a fan of the Packers, how do you not love that guy? I could see that starting to turn me a little bit. So I think that is important. I thought that was really interesting. It completely took over the TV show this morning, and I think it was really well worth it, even on the day that a championship could be decided. Tonight, I am Greeny. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Meanwhile, we had breaking news earlier, and it is just awful. Just absolutely terrible. I hate to be the one to tell you this, but the head of the Tokyo Organizing Committee for the Olympics, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, Toshiro Muto, says he will monitor COVID-19 infection numbers, which are rising, will hold discussions with organizers, and has not ruled out canceling the Olympic Games. To be clear, the Games open Friday without fans. There are events in the games. Many may not know this. I remember when I first found this out, I was surprised. They actually start holding some competitions before the opening ceremonies. So there are actually Olympic competitions that begin tomorrow. But because the numbers are spiking, they have not ruled out. They are considering the possibility they may have to still cancel the Olympics. Again, the head of the organizing committee said, quote, "We can't predict what will happen with the number of cases, so we will continue discussions if there is a spike. We have agreed that based on the situation, we will convene 5-party talks again. At this point, the cases may rise or fall, so we will think about what we should do when the situation arises." Again, to be clear, there have been 71 positive cases inside the Olympic Village, the athletes' village. They have this thing as isolated as they can. They're trying as hard as they can to hold an Olympic Games. They're doing it in a part of the world where they are not nearly as far along in the vaccination process as we are. This was probably a problem that was easy to see coming. They probably saw it coming and just thought we will try as hard as we can anyway. But my heart breaks for all these kids. All these kids who've worked their whole lives for this opportunity, and then there it was in last year, and it gets pushed back, and you train for another whole year. So many of these athletes put their lives on hold. Bear in mind, most of these athletes are people who will not make a living or practically any money having done what they did in the Olympics, but this is a dream to be an Olympian, and who among us wouldn't love to live out that dream? But so, you know, you spend 4 years of your life preparing for this thing, and you put off going to school or going to a job or whatever. You push it back another year. It's the coronavirus. They're going to do it next year. I'm going to spend one more year of my life. If this thing gets pulled out from under them, you know, 2 or 3 days before it's scheduled to start, and I can't blame anyone, but boy, that would really make me sad. I can't even fathom the level of heartbreak that would have to create. So we will continue to monitor that for you. Obviously, it's not what I want to sit up here and talk about all day, but it is obviously in the world of sports right now overwhelmingly the most important story. Next up, of course, is that Milwaukee could win the championship tonight, and you want to hear from Doris Burke, don't you? The great DB joins me live next. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio.
The NFL is on. Key, Jay, and Z.
If you're the Eagles, yeah, you want to make a play, but does Deshaun want to make a play with you? You got to remember, Deshaun's looking to win. He ain't looking to just be on a team.
Deshaun J. Will and Zubin, starting tomorrow morning at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. The great Doris Burke live in 30 seconds on the Goodyear Hotline. With the Bucks looking to wrap up their first championship in half a century at home tonight. And we'll spend those 30 seconds reminding you that for all the ones who get it done, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by. And with that, it is my pleasure to say good morning to Doris Burke. Hey, DB.
Good morning, Greeny. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Obviously not as well as you were there to see what could be something that no one has seen in half a century in Milwaukee, and that is the Bucks winning a championship tonight. And I always love talking with you and hearing you talk about adjustments. And for a long time now, and I make no apologies for it because I've been one of those who has been somewhat critical of Mike Budenholzer in postseasons past and even at earlier in this postseason for what looked like an offensive philosophy that wasn't working. It didn't seem to suit its pieces. And so I want to be sure to give him what I perceive to be a lot of credit for what looks like an entirely different offensive philosophy that they have adapted to slowly over the course of this postseason. And I would love you to pick up the thought from there and tell everybody what it is you've seen.
Well, I'm going to take the opposite side of the floor because I think the defensive adjustments he made over the course of this season have been critical to what they have achieved in this finals in particular, because the switching that they employed over the course of the season, something that was antithetical to him prior to this season on the defensive end, right? They had for two seasons been incredible defensively, limiting teams in the paint to such a high degree, giving up a high number of threes. And you're right. I mean, listen, this has been a constant drumbeat against Mike Budenholzer, and he deserves credit now because they have turned, with their switching, the Phoenix Suns into a one-on-one basketball team. The passing opportunities, the number of total passes has gone down. And I say this as someone who knows what the Phoenix Suns have shot in the last two games. I think that's a combined 53.6%. And yet they're losing games because everything they're doing is one-on-one. They are forcing Devin Booker and Chris Paul to play one-on-one. It's taking, tough shot after tough shot by Devin Booker to sustain their offense, and it's helping Milwaukee win this series. And so I think that is as critical to what they have done as anything on the offensive end, Mike.
The Suns are the only to illustrate your point. They're the only team to lose back-to-back games in the finals, shooting 50% in both since the Celtics in 1987. So you make a good point there, the defensive adjustments, Greeny and Doris Burke. Let me ask you, though, about the offensive end, because so much of that is about Giannis. On this general belief that when things went wrong, they would just give it to him and say, bail us out, and he would wind up shooting bad-looking shots and shooting far too many threes. And now his points are all coming in the paint. He's been so dominant. He's shooting 61% from the floor. How have they done that?
Well, I think a couple of things. To me, the Bucks are always at their best when a lot of people touch the basketball. So the ball is swinging side to side, and obviously you always want the ball in your best player's hands. And so the trio, obviously, in Game 5, hugely successful, all north of 25 points, all, you know, contributed. Drew did the vast majority of his damage in the first three quarters of the basketball game. But I make the point, Greeny, that the ball moves, that everybody is touching it, that the number of passes when the Milwaukee Bucks play is significant to their success. And, you know, give some credit to Pat Connaughton, who's a guy who is no play calls for him. He's never going to handle the basketball. But, oh, please, by the way, Pat Connaughton, be shot ready on the catch when, you know, Giannis, you know, shrinks to the middle of the floor of the defense, and you've got to be ready to catch and shoot and make critical threes. Mm-hmm. You know, he did so in Game 4, had the big go-ahead three. He's knocked down a number of critical shots. And so that, to me, is crucial. And the fact of the matter is, like, end-of-game execution is critical, and the ball is finding Chris Middleton's hand because he's a three-level scorer, because he can create his own shot opportunities. And I think we have to give credit. I took some heat for early in the playoffs for talking about Giannis's improvements as a playmaker. Mm. Now, listen, is he the Chris Paul level passer? No. Does he have that kind of vision? Not necessarily. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he can take efficient dribbles and then find the next right pass. And I think we have to give him credit for processing a possession. You know, as the time is, you know, dwindling and the floor is shrinking, give him some credit for processing what he's seeing and making the right pass.
I can once again illustrate your point. The Bucks, in their three wins in this series, have averaged 265 passes a game. In their two losses, 227 passes per game. That may not sound like a lot. It is. That is a big disparity. And so as the ball moves, so do they. Doris Burke with me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. The other thing that I'm hearing more and more people talk about, and look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Chris Middleton. He's been terrific, and he's been there when they've needed him. But I feel like Drew Holiday's defense on Chris Paul has done as much to turn this series in Milwaukee's favor as anything. Chris Paul, if this thing ends tonight and he doesn't play any better, Chris Paul is going to wake up in the middle of the night in with nightmares about Drew Holiday for weeks after this series is over. I think his defense has been as important a factor in this series as anything else that I've seen. What have you seen?
100% cosign. We've been beating that drum on our radio coverage, John Barry and I, unequivocally, that Drew Holiday's defense has been a major, major factor. The number of times that Chris Paul is met prior to crossing the half court line, the incredible pressure at the point of attack, the ability to use your lateral quickness, your instincts, your 6'3", 205-pound frame against a guy who is 6 feet, 175 pounds. You know, listen, Greeny, over the years, you know, at the end of seasons, as I'm trying to vote for various awards, first, second, third team, all defense, you know, obviously this past season was a little bit difficult for me to do this. Normally, I will talk to players and just say, hey, I'm struggling with X and Y. Yeah. You know, I'm down between these two guys for first team versus second team all defense. To a man, over the last several seasons, the first person guys mention as perimeter defensive players is Drew Holiday. Mm. Like the tenacity, what's required physically and mentally from Drew. Yeah, Chris Paul is going to wake up and know that he's looked opposite a guy who absolutely was a monster and a terror and a menace defensively. No question, 100% co-sign what you just said.
Now, CP3 has 6 assists and 10 turnovers when Holiday defends him in this series. Doris mentioning she's on the broadcast on ESPN Radio. Game 6 tonight presented by Indeed. Coverage 8 Eastern on most of these ESPN Radio stations. So what do you do? If you're the Suns now and Monty Williams, you were in control of this thing. It has gotten very Bucksy since then. Chris Paul looks like he is being worn down by that defense at his age of 36. What does Phoenix do to extend this thing tonight?
Well, I think they have to get back to their pace game first and foremost. When they were winning games 1 and 2, I can't remember which, but I think it was game 2, they played at the second fastest pace they had played all year. They try to make a point of having the ball across half court by the 22nd mark. So, you know, it starts with your defense. You've got to stop taking the ball out of the net because it's so hard to get into transition and get up the floor quickly when you're doing that. So it starts with your defense. But I think it also has to be about making sure you're playing with pace and making sure no matter what, the ball moves side to side. Like Devin Booker's time of possession with the basketball, the number of dribbles he's taking has increased as the series has worn on. Like Monty talks all the time about, you know, quick decisions and making really quick. So on the catch of your Devin, and you're not going to get into a 1 or 2 dribble pull-up, then move it and get to the next action. Make sure the ball is changing sides of the floor. And listen, that's easier said than done with the switching they're doing. Even when Brook Lopez is on the floor, they are trying to be disciplined and not switch from big to little, meaning Brook is trying to stay attached to the guy he's guarding. So their task is a tall one. To be honest with you, Greeny, I think Milwaukee wins tonight, and I think they do it on the strength of their defense.
All right, we will see again, and we will hear Doris and company with the call. It's always such a pleasure to catch up. Thank you, Doris. We'll be listening tonight. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Greeny.
All right, that's the great Doris Burke with me here on ESPN Radio. Again, she's got the call tonight. It's here on ESPN Radio. You'll see it on ABC. It could be a coronation tonight for Giannis and the Bucks, 50 years in the making. And whether you need to hire a civil engineer in New York or a mascot in Missouri, ZipRecruiter's technology finds people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. Now you can try it for free only at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. Meanwhile, we've been very serious so far today. Let's get to something else.
I'm sorry, what? What?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
All right, I'm not sure how many people heard this. Gary Cohen is an announcer in New York City. He broadcasts New York Mets games, has for a very long time. He's very, very good. He's an excellent announcer. I, in a world where you can't get two people to agree on anything, everyone thinks he's great. But anyway, he's doing the Met game last night for SNY, and they're in Cincinnati. And they do one of those cutaway shots to the preparation of a dish from Skyline Chili. Now, anyone who's never been to Cincinnati, You may not know what I'm talking about. Skyline chili is one of those, I'm going to call them indigenous foods. It is one of those legendary places. And so many cities have their own. I was so excited when I got to Cincinnati. My first ever visit to Cincinnati was when the All-Star Game was there, whatever year that was.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
That was the Todd Frazier won the home run derby when it was raining that night.
Okay. I didn't remember that, but one way or the other, we were there. And I did the show from Cincinnati. I remember that because I met Johnny Bench, and that was the best part of it. Johnny Bench came and did our show live from where we were working that morning. But either way, the point is, Gary Cohen, so they have this cutaway shot, and they're preparing this chili, and it is like noodles. I'm going to describe it for you because for the radio audience, you won't be able to see what he's talking about. But it's like a plate of pasta covered in like some chili meat, then like this chili gravy. Then they dump on like what looks like 5 pounds of cheese. It is quite the dish. And here's how Gary describes it on television.
This is the local delicacy known as Skyline Chili. The five-way with the spaghetti and the beans. And the cheese.
Five-way.
First, the disgusting chili gravy.
And what do you put on
the onions?
You put some mustard or something?
No. Wait a second. After the onions comes the cheese, and that's what makes it the five-way. Here we go. Is the cheese. They put like 10 tons of shredded cheese on there. And this is supposed to be food that you actually eat.
So that's Gary Cohen. That's Ron Darling sitting behind him trying to get some clarification on this. But that is Gary Cohen just obliterating Skyline Chili. So, as you would well imagine, the people of Cincinnati came for him.
Mm.
Because that is a civic institution. That is like...
That's their Liberty Bell.
That's their Liberty Bell. All right, you're from Philly. That's their Liberty Bell. Mm-hmm. Now, I did not go to Skyline Chili when I was in Philadelphia. There were two other very famous places that... in Cincinnati. There were two very other famous places that I went to in Cincinnati. I went to Montgomery Ribs, Montgomery Inn, I think it's called.
Montgomery Inn.
And had the ribs, which are very famous. Mm. And the ribs were good. My overriding recollection of that was that as we were walking in, it was Mike and me and whoever was working. Maybe you were with us.
I was not there. But
whoever was on that trip
going.
Came with us. As we're walking in, Pete Rose comes walking out. And he's wearing, as God is my witness, a white jumpsuit. This is like 2016. He was dressed like Elvis Presley circa 1975.
That's a bold choice if you're eating ribs.
He is wearing a white jumpsuit. And people, of course, are, you know, all over him taking pictures. And, you know, we stopped and said a brief hello to, you know, to Mr. Hustle, Charlie Hustle. But whatever, we see Pete Rose there. The other famous place in Cincinnati is Grater's Ice Cream.
Mm-hmm.
And we did stay with me on that trip. Actually, we went and got ice cream there. So that was fun. So I like going to these places. So I started thinking, we had some time to kill this morning. So let's just see how well known this stuff is. Bubba, open up a microphone. If I say to you, Primanti's Brothers Sandwiches, do you know what city I'm talking about?
Oh, I've had it. Been there. Had it. Love it.
Well, name the city for the people in America who don't know what I'm talking about.
Pittsburgh.
That's right. That's Pittsburgh, PA. And you like it. So a Primanti's Brothers sandwich, which I ate once in my life, the incredibly drunken day that we were at the opening of PNC Park. They serve those in the ballpark, or they did. That was the drunkest I've ever been in my life. But anyway, a Primanti's Brothers sandwich is like a huge... It's like a huge sandwich, and you can get anything you like, meat or whatever you want on it. And then they put coleslaw and French fries on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes inside the bread.
That's right.
That's all one big meal. Mm-hmm. Not my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea. Now, everyone knows this one, but I'll just say it. Bubba, cheesesteaks.
I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
Obviously. What is the best cheese? Hembo, you're from Philly. What's the best cheesesteak place?
I prefer Pat's right across the street from Geno's, which ostracizes me to 50% of Philadelphia.
Right. Those are the two legendary places.
Yes.
Never been a big fan of the cheesesteak.
Really?
I myself have not.
Huh.
I will tell you why. There is a delicacy to be found in Chicago, if you get the opportunity, that looks very similar to the cheesesteak, and it is called the Italian beef.
That is good, too.
It is much more savory. The
Portillo's? Portillo's, is that the name of
Portillo's is a place where you can get that.
That's where I've had it.
Okay, fair enough. I mostly know them for hot dogs in Chicago.
Mm.
But now, Chicago, of course, is best known for the deep dish pizza. The stuff most people, if you say, what is the indigenous food of Chicago, would say, you know, Gino's or Lou Malnati's or one of those pizza places. I'm actually salivating now thinking about the Italian beef. The Italian beef dipped with both. They give you either sweet peppers or hot peppers. Oh. I get both. Is so delicious that you could have a heart attack. And if you eat too much of it, you probably will.
You may.
But the good news for me when I lived in Chicago was I was in my 20s. So I ate that for lunch every day.
Attaboy.
Every day. And I felt great. If I ate one of them now, I'd be, you know, sidelined for 2 weeks.
That's a sloppy sandwich for you, though.
Oh, but with a fork and knife. It's okay. Delicious.
All right.
Oh, fabulous. The best. I loved it. Now, let me give you a little harder ones. Oh, maybe not harder. Bubba, po' boys. Do you know where you go to get po' boys? What city?
New Orleans.
That's correct. New Orleans.
Well done, Bubba.
And the po' boy, for those who don't know, is just basically a sandwich, right? Like, they make kind of unique sandwiches, but it's just kind of a sandwich.
Right. A lot of the fried shrimp. You can do other different kinds of
fried. But you can get a po' boy that's just like a turkey sandwich.
Well, yeah, sure, but that's not the classic po' boy.
No, no, maybe not.
I like the spicy.
But after like 3 days.
Spicy mayo.
I'm in New Orleans is my favorite city to visit, but I can't take too much of it gastrointestinally. Like, by day three. In like day one in New Orleans, oh, come on, bring it on. I want the sauce. I want the spice.
You're slinging
I want
crawdads.
Everything. By like the second day, you're like, yeah, you know, it still tastes good. By the third day, you're like, I need a turkey sandwich dry on white. I'm dying here. Who can eat like this all the time? Like, I don't know how they do it. I have all these friends. Their kids go to Tulane. I always ask them, how do you eat like that?
Oh,
like,
man.
I love it, but I can't do it for long. Then the really obvious, another one that's too obvious, but the crab cake. Right? Bubba, crab cake?
Baltimore.
Correct. The second you get off the plane, you got to go get crab cake.
The Mel Kiper special.
In Baltimore. That's the Mel Kiper special. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of a fun conversation. I didn't really have much of a twist, but
there was no payoff, really.
There was no. Oh, as I sit here, I realize, why did I think that was interesting?
I did want to ask you.
Yeah.
You said that you've never eaten Skyline Joe.
No.
Would you have anything ever that looks kind of like that?
No.
Is it too many foods touching? Is it too unhealthy?
I don't mind foods touching, but those do not look like a combination that I'm interested in.
I went with a three-way. My dad made it for the national championship game. We always make chili. He made it one time.
What ways did you have? What were the three ways?
Just the spaghetti, chili, and cheese. So I didn't do the beans or the onions.
See, I think the best thing they do, Bubba, are the Coney dogs. The Coney, the hot dogs, I think are the best thing that they do. What this tells me that Gary Cohen has never been drunk in Cincinnati before. Because that is the best item to get in that case.
But wait, Bubba, you had the what was it again?
Chili, spaghetti, and cheese. So basically just like the basic.
The three-way.
Adding the spaghetti is kind of the.
It's too much cheese, though. You can't put that much cheese.
I didn't go nuts with the cheese part. To me, the addition of spaghetti, I really like. I thought that was cool.
Yes, that might be fine.
That
but
part was cool. I'm not a huge beans and beans guy.
I would eat the beans and the onions, yeah. And I wouldn't mind the spaghetti. But I mean, that looked like basically cheese.
I think at some
cheese.
Point I might have done a five-way just to say I did it. It was cool, but that five-way dish, or the highway is
yeah,
what we say.
It looks disgusting. That dish, that dish to me looks like cheese with a side of chili.
They put a lot of cheese. I was watching the game when Gary did this, and they put so much cheese in that moment. I don't know what was going on.
I would describe it as a glop.
Gary was not.
I could not be less
and
interested.
And Ron seemed very confused.
Under any circumstances.
Ron was very confused.
All right, coming up next, I will explain to you what Jennifer Lopez and a great white shark do not have in common. That is after this word from California Almonds. You know, country versus country, or you versus the home printer, no matter the competition, you need natural fuel. And almonds are exactly that fuel for the best you. A handful of almonds have 6 grams of plant-based protein. Can't get any easier to fuel good so you can feel good. Now just choose how to get fueled up. Whole almonds as a snack, almond milk in your smoothies, almond butter smeared on basically anything. Whether you're podium topping or printing at home, almonds in any form are natural fuel for the best you. California Almonds, own your everyday, every day. This is ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
This is Greeny, and if you're just joining me, where you been? We talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers and Shefty's latest reporting. We'll get back to that in a few. The Bucks can win the championship. We'll talk about Giannis off the top of the hour and why he may be the most underappreciated all-time great in sports today. I can also tell you, you can be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month. All America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I saw this the other day and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know. You know that I'm obsessed with sharks, right? We've had that conversation here many times. I'm obsessed with sharks. My parents took me to see Jaws in the theater when I was a kid. I think I was like 7 years old. I saw it in the theater. I've still kind of never gotten over it. I've been obsessed with slash terrified of sharks forever. I also have many times on these airwaves said to you over the years, I believe being eaten is the worst way to die. I can't fathom a worse way to die than being eaten by anything, a shark, a lion, a large dog. I can't think of anything worse. So I'm looking in the New York Post last week. I set it aside. I hadn't gotten to it. There's a story here that says marine experts and advocates in Australia are urging the public to refrain from using the word attack in reference to sharks, declaring that sharks have been unfairly stigmatized. Instead, officials have suggested that violent run-ins with sharks should be called interactions. Otherwise, they could be called swapping words they could use that aren't negative. Call them negative encounters, incidents, or bites. This is from the reporting from the Sydney Morning Herald. I'm just going to say this. If I see you in the street one day and you walk up to me and you're missing a leg, half your leg is eaten off, and I say to you, what happened to you, Hembo? And you say to me, I had an interaction with a shark. That's going to be the last conversation we ever have. Okay? If you get bitten slash eaten by a shark, that was not an interaction. That is not an interaction.
It was a negative encounter.
Interact. Interacting can mean a lot of things. To me, it's not that. I'm not good with that. Okay? Bubba, let me ask you a question. You understand the usage of words extraordinarily well. If I should see you, and literally I walk up to you, and I'm quite literally half the man I used to be, if half of me has been eaten by a shark, and you say, Greeny, what happened? And I say, well, I had a shark interaction in Sydney, Australia. Would you find that peculiar?
I would find it odd, although I would understand what happened. But I would find it strange you worded it that way. But yeah. I do the wording is still technically correct, but it's a very strange way to put it.
If I'm in a boat and a shark swims by and I see the dorsal fin, after I stop crying, I probably would describe that as an interaction. Being eaten is not an interaction. I will tell you what an interaction is. I had an interaction with Jennifer Lopez, one of the most famous people in the world. Mike and I are on Letterman. She's on there promoting, she had a perfume. So the way it would work when we were on Letterman is there's one, like the A-list guest, which that night is J-Lo, has this huge dressing room on one floor. And then the musical act and the other guest have other dressing rooms. I'm not knocking it. It was the greatest thrill of our lives going on that show as many times as we did. So one night J-Lo's on, pretty exciting. Mm. Jennifer Lopez is on. I'm hoping that we'll get a chance to meet her. You never know. So we're upstairs. So she finishes her segment. We watch her segment. She's promoting a perfume. We get into the elevator to go down to the level where the stage is. Elevator door opens. I happen to be the first person in the elevator. I'm standing right, like my nose to the door. It opens. She's standing facing me. She's a foot away. I can smell her. She smelled fantastic. I mean, she's promoting a perfume. I can't tell you how good that woman smelled. She also looks like she's lit from within. The way I would describe her is she looks like there's a light bulb on inside of her. She's glowing. Anyway, I looked right at her and I said, hey, great segment out there. She did not verbally respond, nor did she respond in any other way. We kept walking. She got into the elevator and that was the end. I would describe that as an interaction. We interacted. We were looking at each other. I smelled her and I spoke to her and she ignored me. That's an interaction. A shark biting off your foot is not an interaction. I rest my case.
Doesn't it have to be reciprocated for you and J-Lo to have interacted?
No. It would have been a meeting.
No,
It would have been an encounter. You can use whatever word you want, but if the shark bites off half of you, that is not an interaction. The most underrated player in sports.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.